Hey guys, I won't waste too much of your time tonight. I'm just going to let you know that this was the patron-only episode we did on Friday. It is about phobias, and we're going to show you a clip. If you want to see the full episode, you can join our Patreon. we have all kinds of stuff on there, so it's not like it's just this. There's like tons of stuff. You can check it out. It's cool.
So, the first
phobia that we're going to cover tonight is Venus traphobia. Venus traphobia.
So are they literally scared of Venus flytraps?
No.
Is that your guess?
Maybe they're afraid of love? They're
easy.
Afraid of sex?
I'm going to say fear of plants.
Nope. You're both wrong. This is fear of beautiful women.
Not
beautiful women.
Well, I knew Venus. I knew it had to be something.
Gynophobia is fear of all women. But this is specifically a fear of beautiful women. And I want you
to
note,
tell you what, I don't have this fear.
The heart rate palpitations that you had, the fear response when this beautiful woman came up on the screen.
Something else got hard, I don't have to say.
Yeah, see, you can hear TJ's thumping away.
Damn, are you afraid?
So what causes Venus traphobia? What do you think?
What causes it? I don't know, maybe just being intimidated by beautiful women.
Maybe the thought of being rejected
is
just too
intense. The
fact that
they have so much power over you, but
they're deeply insecure.
You don't have that same sort of ability to control the situation, I guess.
Yep. You guys are pretty much on the money with that. It's believed that past experience with women is one of the causes of caligynophobia or Venus traphobia, if you prefer. Either one is acceptable. If you experience lots of failures when dealing with beautiful women, you may grow up fearing to approach them.
Someone's like, so incels?
Incels, yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah, I mean, basically. The other factor that may cause Venus traphobia is poor self-image. If you think that you're ugly or not that beautiful, then most probably you will feel most vulnerable when you're with a beautiful woman.
Right.
So someone
being like considerably out of your league can make you feel... Not just...
Man, speak for yourself. No one out of my fucking league, bitch.
You in a league of your own, Scotty.
I'm a league of my fucking
Scotty's
own.
I think Scotty's a Venus traphobe, dude.
Yeah.
Let's not talk about it, Paul.
He's a closet Venus traphobe.
Nuh-uh, dude. Nuh-uh. That's my response.
That's why he marries this hot chick, dude. Because he's trying to... That's like his beard. He's trying to pretend he's not a Venus traphobe, but really deep down he's terrified
As soon as
of her.
They get home at night, Scotty's like, get away from me. You're a monster.
Get away
you're
from
no
me,
lava
you
bug.
Hideous beast. I'm scared. Please,
well, I think
God.
I love the lava bug so much, dude.
Yeah.
It's usually the result of a problem with your beliefs about your physical looks in both cases. So,
I feel like it makes more sense to be scared of like beautiful men at that point because that's who you're really competing with, you know?
Yeah. I mean, this you can imagine, though, going up to a chick and getting rejected can be a profoundly bad experience for some dudes because it can be hard to just put yourself out there in the first place. And then if they walk up
and then
to
there's
some
guys who could get rejected all day long and don't give a shit.
So maybe they worked themselves up, right? They overcame their social anxiety. They walked up to the hot chick at high school and they were like, hey, do you want to go on a date with me? And she was like, no, never. Ugh. You know, she just had a horrible reaction. You can imagine
get
how crushing
away from
that
me,
could be.
You fucking loser.
And how that could engender a fear response later in life.
See, like, my dad always had the philosophy of like, he was like one of those 99 no's guys, you know, like.
Doesn't matter.
Ask 100 women, 99 no's. Eh? Who gives a shit? You gotta find that one bitch.
Cast a wide net.
Yeah, that was his philosophy. It's like. Hey, bitch, want to fuck? Hey, bitch, want to fuck? Hey, bitch, want to fuck? So eventually some bitch will be like, yeah, I guess.
Hey, girl,
I
mean, you want to fuck?
That's basically
playing the numbers game.
That's the player mentality. It's like, you know, the more you play, the more chance you have of winning.
But some guys, they can't
do it. And to a certain
it.
Extent, it's true. It's like the lotto. You got to be in it to win it, right?
But for some guys, it's like the first rejection is just so withering and so fucking painful.
They don't want to face it again.
I'm a
they
failure.
They can never do it again.
I'm ugly. I'm an incel.
And it really doesn't make any rational sense to fear rejection because it's like you didn't have them when you started. Now you just still don't have them. So it's not like anything's really changed for you other than, you know,
I don't know, TJ.
You've lost the fantasy, I guess.
I remember one time me and TJ were walking through a mall and I'm like, I see a group of girls. I'm like, TJ, I'm going to go talk to that group of girls and say you want to meet them. And he's like, no, you won't. Then I go up and I'm like, hey, my brother wants to meet you. And TJ literally ran out of the mall. He ran out of the fucking mall.
Dude?
Yeah, I was like, fuck
wow.
No.
TJ, maybe TJ's the fucking Venus traphobe.
He
dude.
Ran
gotta get out of
the fucking mall, dude. I couldn't believe it because his fat ass ran away.
Oh, shit.
We thought I wouldn't do it either. I'm like, dude, I don't give a shit.
Yeah. That's true. That did happen. I can't deny it.
I wonder if there's a lot of Venus trophobia in our audience.
Probably.
You think there's a high prevalence of Venus trophobia?
Someone said, I used to have this problem when I was younger.
Yeah.
Someone said, plus every bitch out there is convinced we're all out to rape them. I don't think that that's
true. I don't think that's included true, in Venus trophobia.
That one bitch, lol. Yeah, that was his fucking, that was his credo, dude.
You guys ready to move on to another phobia?
Yep, I'm ready.
How about nomophobia?
Nomophobia?
Nomophobia. N-O-M-O-phobia.
Okay, there's no way it's gnomes, man. No,
nomophobia. Not spelled right for gnomes.
Nomophobia, okay.
Nomophobia.
Nomophobia.
Gnome.
The fear of noise.
Fear of noise, okay. TJ?
I don't know. I'm just fucking grasping for fucking straws. I have no clue.
Fear of birds?
Nope. This is actually a cool one and a relatively recent development. This is a fear of being out of cell phone contact.
Whoa.
This is a relatively newly described phobia, an abbreviation for no mobile phone phobia.
Nomophobia. I got it.
Was coined during a 2008 study by the UK Post Office, who commissioned a UK-based research organization evaluating anxieties suffered by mobile phone users. The study found that nearly 53% of mobile phone users in Britain tend to be anxious when they lose their phone, run out of battery or credit, or have no network coverage. The study sampled 2,163 people and found that about 58% of men and 47% of women suffer from the phobia. And an additional 9% feel stressed when their mobile phones are off. 55% of those surveys cited keeping in touch with friends or family as the main reason they got anxious when they could not use their mobile phones.
Dude, I don't know about that, dude. I'm not really worried about contacting people because I know like there's a 99% chance they're probably fine or just doing whatever. I just don't like the fact that I can't look shit up. You know what I mean? Like if you're like, damn,
that's how I feel. Because like I didn't even want a cellular phone. The only thing that convinced me is when they basically turned into little computers in your pocket.
Yeah.
Because when it was just a contact device, I was like, not interested. Thank you.
You want a porn box, dude?
Yeah. I was like, oh, I can look at porn on it. Let me get one. You know?
Right. And
I can look up Wikipedia on it. Oh yeah, give me that. You know,
I just don't have the need for it. I was born just outside of the age range, I think, to actually have a real connection with it. Like I like it, I use it, but if it disappeared tomorrow, I wouldn't cry a fucking single salty tear about it. I'd be like, well, back to the old way.
I'm
fine with that. But some people get. On the extreme end of this. People can have panic attacks, full fucking breakdowns and stuff because their phone isn't working. I'll tell you what, dude. Ashley is she's of the generation that's always got her face in the phone, mm-hmm. right? Uh-huh. Her phone broke. This was way back when we were living in the house that burned. Her phone broke, and I remember it took a couple of days to get her phone, and she was like going nuts with like actually having anxiety problems because she didn't have that phone.
Right.
So this is a real...
Because that's a lifeline to the world for some people.
Another study found that 547 male undergraduate students in health services, 23% of the students were classified as nomophobic, while an additional 64% were at risk of developing the phobia. More than one in two nomophobes never switch off their mobile phones. The study and subsequent coverage of their phobia resulted in two editorial columns, blah, 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 blah. So, yeah, just a deathly fear of not... And it really seems to, when they ask these people, it seems to be about losing contact with friends or family.
I mean, that's kind of laudable, at least, you know.
But really, like, that didn't happen before these devices existed. People still stayed in touch.
Your condition now, though. That's the difference. Like, is that, Paul, is that you know that if you want to have that ability to have that communication with anyone in your life, you know you have it.
Yeah, but I mean, like, things...
And maybe you don't give a shit. Like, and like I kind of feel the same way, because I kind of grew up, and cell phones
technology
weren't a big deal.
Technology like this kind of changes the landscape of society, though, too, because it's like...
Oh, fundamentally.
You know, like, before automobiles, people still got around, but now, I mean, the ways they got around are... You know, antiquated. So it's like if you don't have a car.
I mean, you're connected at every moment. It's like the difference between writing a letter once in a while or sending an email or you know, going it's, even visiting,
instant, even like AIM and shit, dude. Like I'm gonna message
up
somebody.
The phone and
probably why people
calling.
Used to write letters so much more. I mean, like you read like a letter from someone on the front lines of the Civil War or something. It's like poetic and beautiful, and the writing is exquisite.
Because you know, it was, you needed to be able to do that to keep in touch with people,
and you needed to be able to tell them all about everything that had happened since last you spoke to them, and all this other stuff. And now it's just like, how you doing? I'm Kay. Cool. Watching Netflix, you know, whatever. It's just like, you know, insipid bullshit now.
Well, people are, I mean, in a way, it creates more social isolation because in a way it's like you can contact everyone you want, but it's almost no impetus for a lot of people to actually gather and engage anymore. It's like, I mean, I'm not saying that socialization has gone away, but it's been fundamentally shifted away from this more like, it's when you want to be a part of it.
Well, I don't know. There's also like an element of like it becoming way more superficial.
Yeah.
Well, it's more detached. There's a barrier between you and the other person.
You're more connected. You're connected at any second to a bunch of information and up to date what's going on in the lives of all these people. But it's really engendered a need for this thing that we have.
The
this
interface.
Phone.
Your
thing,
interface to it.
Right. Yeah. So this has become like it's just a. Another example for me of how these phones have weaseled their ways into our lives and have become kind of a part of how we live and what the repercussions of that are going to be. On this end, we find that people that use their phones a lot, when they get it taken away, they're prone to have actual anxiety attacks.
Well, they're addicted to that information, that device.
So here's our next fear, deep, dark fear. And one of you may be experiencing this fear, right?
Oh, shit, dude.
Now.
Fear of fat, bearded, obnoxious men.
Yes. Yes. Gamophobia. Gamophobia.
Gammo.
G-A-M-O-phobia. Gamophobia.
Spell it again.
G-A-M-O-phobia. Gamophobia.
Gamophobia. And we might be experiencing it right now.
You might be, one of you, or both of you, I don't know, might be, well, no, actually, it could only be just one of you experiencing this one right now.
Oh, dude, what the fuck could it be?
Gamophobia.
Gamophobia.
Dude, I have no idea, so I'm going to say the fear of running out of weed.
Okay.
Well, both of us would be subject to that.
I'm just saying I have no idea.
His hint just makes it harder.
That's what I'm saying, dude. I fucking would have had a better guess.
Do you wave
the
white flag of surrender?
Dude, I
got to at least venture some kind of guess.
All right.
Guess, TJ.
Gamophobia.
Fear of your man tits becoming sentient and eating your face.
Okay.
Decent guess, I'm sure.
All right, Scotty, do you want to venture a guess?
Because I've only got
take a stab.
Only I have man tits, so it might be man tit related.
Dude.
Only one of you could really genuinely be experiencing this right now.
Fear of fatness?
No.
Yeah, that's the little cliffhanger I'll leave you on. Of course, it's not much of a cliffhanger because you could just go look it up if you really wanted to. But I recommend you don't look it up. I recommend you join our Patreon and check out the episode for yourself, because we explain it far more masterfully than anywhere else on the entire internet. So that's just a fact.